Last week we began our look at the wisdom books of the Bible, which are Ecclesiastes. What are the wisdom books? You guys got them? Ecclesiastes? Psalms, yeah, they're a wisdom book. What else?
Job.
The three of them. Proverbs and Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, yeah. Great. So we're looking at these wisdom books. Last week we looked at the book of Ecclesiastes. And what was the question that we looked at in the book of Ecclesiastes? What was the question that was asked over and over and over and over again last week? What? What lasts? And what did he find out? What lasts? Well, nothing, right? He picked up everything. He picked up pleasure. He picked up riches. He picked up women. He picked up a lot of things. And he went through these things. He said, does this last till youth? He picked up health. He picked up career. He picked up politics. He picked up righteousness, and he picked up wisdom, and he even looked at those things. And you know what? At the end, you die. In the end, you grow old, you die, nothing lasts. But, was his message. Conclusion of the book is that, yeah, nothing lasts, nothing at all, except a relationship with God. So we should gratefully receive everything from his hand. It's really a joyous book. We gratefully receive everything being from his hand. And our search, and that the only thing that brings meaning to life, the only thing that is lasting, is our relationship with God and our reverence for him. The conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and obey his commandments. That was the end of the book. In other words, our search for wisdom would be meaningless if we tried to disconnect it from God, who alone is eternal and who alone brings joy and meaning into our life. And that's where the book of Proverbs, as we're going to be looking at, the book of Proverbs begins right where Ecclesiastes leaves off. If you read chapter 1, verse 7, actually this is the verse we start with every service with, right? Chapter 1, verse 7 says this. This is right where Ecclesiastes left off. Chapter 1, verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The difference between biblical wisdom and worldly philosophy, where the philosopher starts with reason, starts with looking under the sun and trying to put together things on this planet without God, and then tries to build up to an eternal absolute. That's kind of the task of philosophy. Biblical wisdom says this: no, you start with God, and everything else flows from relationship to him. But the Bible doesn't argue for God. It starts out, in the beginning, God created. Doesn't like have to like talk about, argue like this debate that's coming up on Wednesday night. It's going to be awesome. But the Bible doesn't follow that tack. It just says, look, here's God. Now try to figure the rest of the stuff out. All right? The book of Proverbs is a compilation of wisdom passed on from father to son. Now, here's kind of how the first 9 chapters go in a nutshell. Solomon gets his son over, and Solomon compiled most of these, but imagine a father getting his son over, bringing him onto his knee and saying, son, I want to talk to you about something. And the son's like, all right. And he says, I want to talk to you about, son's playing his Game Boy Advance, whatever, and it just kind of tunes out the father. And the father says, no, I want to talk to you about righteousness. I want to talk to you about life. And the son's, again, zoning out. And finally, the father says, I know. I want to talk to you about girls. That's like, hey, what? That's the subject I want to hear about as a young man, right? So Solomon was very, very wise, and he wants to tell his son, he wants to impart all this wisdom to his son about how to live and how to seek wisdom. And his son is totally tuning him out. He says, hey, let's talk about girls. Talk about girls. What kind of girls do you like? What are you looking for? Hey, boy, what are you looking for? And this captures the son's attention. This is how the book of Proverbs starts out. Solomon's a wise teacher. He knows how to get his son's attention. Much of the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is talking about two women, two types of girls. And you can go through the first 9 chapters, and I think they're up on the screen right here. Every single chapter talks about either the lady or the tramp. The lady called wisdom or the tramp called folly. Every single chapter. If you're interested in reading all these passages later, if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Chapters 1 to 30, 20 to 33, talking about Lady Wisdom. You can read them, but that's all them. 19, the tramp. 3, 13 to 20, the lady. 5, 1 to 23, the tramp. 4, 5, 13, lady. 6, 7, yeah. You can write those down. Or I'll email them you later. If you want them, email me. I'll send them to you. All right? Here's the deal. Every single chapter, he's talking about either one of the women, or he's talking about the other woman, or he's talking about both of them. In every single one of the first nine chapters of Proverbs, John Tom, trying to tell us something about wisdom, starts talking about girls. We're going to look at this tramp, a sketch of the tramp. He introduces us to the tramp in Proverbs 2:16-19. I'll read it real quick. It'll be up on the screen. He says, I'm telling you all this wisdom so that you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress, with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths. The tramp here is called two words. She's called the forbidden woman, and she's called the adulteress. Literally, both of these words mean like stranger or foreigner. They were words to describe people who were outside of ethnic Israel in the Old Testament, sometimes used to describe just simply foreigners. When it's talking about in relation to wisdom and folly, it's actually talking about the force of the words here refers to people who are morally estranged from God. They may have even been part of the community. Somehow they become strangers to the covenant, even though they were within the community. This is basically the seedy underbelly of the culture here, the stranger and the foreigner. When used of women, such in the book of Proverbs, the word suggests harlotry, adultery, prostitution, or loose moral standards. Now we find as we read through these first nine chapters, we find out about this woman that she's not just loose, but that she also is an adulteress who has left her companion of her youth and has forsaken, it says in this verse, she's forsaken the covenant. She's forsaken marriage covenant with the husband of her youth. Doesn't hold marriage in high esteem or understand the solemnity of the covenant into. Now, Solomon goes in great detail about this woman in chapter 7. If you flip over to chapter 7, we're going to look, and Solomon paints a picture for his son what this is like. Proverbs chapter 7, we're going to pick it up in verse number 6. Solomon tells this story. There's a great way to tell him the story. He says, I was at the window. I was looking out the window of my house. What I saw. He says, I was at the window of my house and looked out and through my lattice and I saw among the youths a young man lacking sense, and he was passing along a street near her corner. He was taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. Solomon's point here is, look, I was looking out my window and I saw this young man flirting with disaster. He was putting himself into the place of temptation. It was at the time, it was at twilight, getting dark when you're starting looking around the town, and it was, he knew where she was living, he knew that house was kind of like the red light district, it was kind of the kind of scary, and he was walking right by it. Here's a young man trying to keep his way pure. Going out to the club where everyone's grinding and bumping, and you think this guy's going to make it out okay. He's a guy late at night all by himself telling himself he's just going to get on the computer to check his email and then get off. And he's putting himself into this place of temptation. Young lady compromising her standards for a guy because she believes he'll change for her. This used to be called restless heart condition. Now it could be maybe the twilight condition. I don't know. I don't know about that book, right? But it's the young lady who wants to keep her way straight, and she falls for the dangerous guy. And she believes that he'll change for her. Flirting with disaster. It's the young guy going out, knowing this is where, you know, the parties happen, knowing this is where the dangerous, adulterous woman lives, and just saying, hey, nighttime, 9:30 at night, I'm going to go right by her. Putting himself going on. It says, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward, her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, in every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him and with bold face speaks to him. I find it interesting because I'm a guy, but the first thing the guy notices is the way she's dressed. I mean, of all the ways to describe her, it says he's walking by the street and there she comes out, and it's the first thing it says is dressed like a prostitute. He notices the way she's dressed immediately. Second thing he notices is her aggressive manner. She's a free spirit. She knows who she is and what she wants sexually. She walks right up to him and plants one right on him and boldly states to him, as we go on to see, she boldly states to him what she wants and how she wants it. Imagine you're this guy walking outside of your house. You know, well, you probably shouldn't have walked in there anyway, but you walk outside of your house, here's this girl dressed like a prostitute, comes right up to you, puts her arms around you, kisses you seductively, says, hey, baby, this is what I want. And she, you're going to see exactly what she tells him. But imagine, you know, most guys today, and most guys who do not know Jesus today, this is the girl they're looking for. He's like, jackpot, I didn't have to take her out to dinner. Girls in our culture are being trained to be that girl, the girl who knows what she wants sexually and is the one who's aggressive to be able to go out and get it. I just listened to this interview with Megan Fox of Transformers fame. And, you know, the thing in the interview, what she was saying was, I'm a very insecure person. You would have thought that in high school, you know, I would have had tons of friends, all this. She said, I'm actually deep down a very insecure person. I know where my power is. My power is in my sex appeal. And she has basically defined herself in the media to this generation as that is her power. And I think the word she used in the interview is she said, I have a supernatural power over men. That's all she's been trained to do. And what's interesting is when you hear kind of on her off moments, she'll talk about how insecure she is. She'll talk about how the only thing she's got going for her is her sexuality. And that's what she flaunts. That's her power that she uses. That's exactly like this woman. She says to him, oh, this is tricky. Moving on. She says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. Now I've come out to meet you and seek you eagerly, and I found you. Blasphemously, this woman puts on a spiritual face. She's like, oh, I just got back from church. I just got back from temple. I just got back from presenting my offering before the altar, and I had to do that. And then I came out and I met you as soon as it was over. But yeah, I just came back from church. She's on this spiritual face. And I tell you, beware, Christian young man and Christian young woman. Just because someone you're interested in goes to youth group with you or goes to C4C or goes to prayer group every once in a while doesn't mean that he is a virtuous guy or she is a virtuous woman who's available to you. You might say, well, oh, he's a Christian. Well, what does they mean by that? What does that word mean? I know a guy who did this internet dating thing. And he looked, and he was trying to talk to me, and he said, well, I'm only going to look for a Christian girl. And he did this internet dating, and he said, well, Dan, you know, I was only looking for a Christian. It's all right, right? And I said, well, what are the other choices? And he's like, well, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist. I'm like, dude, like, that doesn't mean that she's seeking after God. It doesn't mean that she has the same heart. It means she's not Hindu. And she says, I'm Christian. Right, so just because somebody's walking out a church, or just because someone lives in North America, and you know here 90% of people are Christian, doesn't mean that they're available to date. Here's a girl saying, I just came back from temple. I just came back from sacrificing my thing on the altar, doing my services. Now let's go and have sex. That's what she goes on and says. Be careful. She listen to her. She appeals right to his ego. She says, so I got back from church, and then I came up to meet you, and I have found you. She's flirt, or guys and girls both, beware of the flirt who builds up your ego for his or her own gain. You know, the lie, well, he said he'd love me if I just X, Y, or Z. In truth, Madame Folly was seeking any man foolish enough to give in to her advances. She was, C.S. Lewis in the book Four Loves talks about the man who says, who goes out on town and he says, man, I want a woman. And the man who says, man, I just got to go out. I just got to find me a woman. C.S. Lewis in the book Four Loves makes the astute comment that says, a woman is the last thing that man wants. He doesn't want a woman. He doesn't want a relationship. He doesn't want a human being who he can share experiences with. He doesn't want, you know, someone who's got their own emotions, their own issues, someone who's got their own joys. He doesn't want a woman. He wants an act. He doesn't want a woman. He wants a vessel that he can do that act with. That's what this woman's like. She'll say to him, I came out for you, honey. I came out looking for you, darling. I'm looking for you. She's looking for an act. She's looking for a vessel up. Her own game. Listen to what she says. Listen to this. Guys, girls, would you be ready for this? She says, I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Eden. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. And she says, I got back from church early just so I could make my bedroom up all nice and neat, put the candles up, put the perfume around just for you. I did it just for you. Are you ready? We can make love till morning. It's going to be amazing. Guys, I don't know. Like, she's using every scent. Visually, What's the nose one called?
Aromatically?
Isn't it like that olfactorily or something? I don't know what that word is.
I don't know.
Visually, aromatically, you know, the sound. She's got everything going on. Listen to this. She goes on to say, my husband's not even at home. He's gone away on a long journey. He's took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he'll come home. We got the whole month. Secret sin. If she can tell you that the consequences are taken care of, if she can tell you that we can have our fun, we can do what we can do, and don't worry about it, nobody's going to find out about it. We're young, we got plenty of time before we have to grow up and act seriously. You know, if she can diminish the consequences, do it. Goes on, just to sum up, he says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He doesn't know that it will cost him his life. Now, sons, listen, be attentive to the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray into her paths, for many a victim she's laid low. And all her slain are a mighty threat. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. That is done. Let's talk about girls. Talk about the lady. Wisdom, in these first 9 chapters, personified as the virgin, whom the wise son should pursue and who should speak with a wholesome yet intimate relationship. While a young man should avoid Madame Folly, he should pursue wisdom as he would the woman who would be his bride. Proverbs 3:13-18 introduces this woman. Blessed is the one who finds Lady Wisdom, one who gets his understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand, in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast call her blessed. This is a blessed gift to a woman. He who finds a good virtue found life. He says in Proverbs 4:6-9, don't forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The meaning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get in. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She'll place on your head a graceful garland and she'll bestow on you a beautiful crown. Speaking in Proverbs 5:15-19, of this woman who you're looking for, it says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Could your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Saying, like, basically, like, give your love to one woman. I heard of this illustration. We're probably going to use it, you know, somebody with 2 bottles of water, completely unopened and everything, going to a guy in the street. Which bottle of water would you like to drink from? And the guy's saying, well, I don't know. And then they had this plan beforehand that 10 guys were going to come out, grab the water, drink from it, and then back and say, hey, which water you want now? Probably want the one that the 10 guys didn't drink from, right? That illustration is to say. But here's what he's saying. When you find this woman, when you marry this woman, you make covenant with this woman, drink from her. Drink deeply. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. This is what, guys, you are looking for. This is what, girls, you are looking for. A man and a woman you can have all your own. But this is what he's teaching his son about who to look for. Don't look for the tramp who goes out to meet saying, I want a man, I want a woman, and I'm just going to go for everything, whatever I can get. Look for that one who, as the Song of Solomon says, our sister was like a wall. She was like a wall. And when she found the one whom her heart loves, she... Lady Wisdom is the type of woman that will make you feel like a real man. It says she'll crown you with honor. She'll also thrill you, but in a way that protects her and honors you and God. Lady Wisdom and Tramp Folly may pursue, they pursue the same men, but their methods greatly differ. Tramps through the book of Proverbs tell men what they want to hear. Come to me, lie with me, I've made my bed up, I got perfumes on here, I got everything for you, we can make love all night, it's going to be amazing. She tells them everything. Lady Wisdom warns men of destruction and death, which all who continue on the path of folly will fall. Lady Wisdom tells men what they need to hear. It may not be as exciting, but it will save your life. Sometimes love is honest. Well, love is always honest. Sometimes love is brutally honest. Tramp seeks out men to seduce like a roaring lion. She's calling, she's prowling, she's on the street, she walks up to the guy, she grabs him and kisses him. Lady Wisdom, he also calls out to men, but she calls out, she says, seek me. She longs for it. Seek me, find me, pursue me, come to me, love me. She's seeking out to be courted. While Lady Wisdom speaks of passion guided by truth, the tramp brazenly proclaims lust blinded by folly. I was in China. When I was in China, Titanic was huge there. I think it still is huge there. Particularly that one annoying song that they played every 5 minutes. You know the one, Céline Dion, quoi, right? And they love Titanic, and I talked to this girl, friend of mine, and she had that Titanic type of love. She was like, I just want to be swept away. So I don't even know right from wrong anymore. I just know love so amazingly, passionately. I said, you're a fool. That's lust, blinded by folly. You know what I want? And I was single at that time. I said, you know what I want? The definition of romantic love I made up in college. I don't know if it's good or bad. But I said, I want passion guided by truth. That's what I want in a wife. I want to be passionately in love with her, so I couldn't imagine life without her. But I want to know that I'm doing the right thing before God, and that I'm not insecure in my relationship with God. I know that God has blessed us. God is prospering our relationship. God is growing our relationship. So that at times in our relationship, when I'm not feeling that passion, that truth is still guiding me. Because if our relationship is lust guided by folly, and the lust is extinguished, what is holding you together is folly. I want passion guided by truth. Solomon gets his boy on and says, let's talk about girls. You want Lady Wisdom. You want passion guided by truth. This is what Proverbs 31, a lot of people like Proverbs 31. It's the ideal woman, right? It's the woman we're looking for. Now, girls get really upset about this, Proverbs 31. They're like, oh, Proverbs 31. I always get beat over the head with Proverbs 31. Like, here's the virtuous woman, right? Proverbs 31 is in the book of Proverbs, I believe, because Solomon wants to tell his son, hey, here's a girl to look for. I believe that's what it's for. Girls, I don't want to beat you over the head with Proverbs 31. Guys, you guys get 30 chapters. Women get one chapter, Proverbs 31. You guys get 30 chapters. You're not ready to date the girl. You're not ready for the Proverbs 31 woman until you're the Proverbs 130 man. All right? That's as a single person, we've got a lot of single people here, developing that character in yourself. That when you meet that virtuous woman, she's not just going to laugh in your face because you're a joke. Right? Learn this word. Live by this word. Consume it and become it in your character. Now, I just talked a lot about two women. I talked a lot about what type of woman, what type of man to look for. That's not actually anything of what these nine chapters are actually about at all. That was basically the introduction. All right. Now we're going to get to what Proverbs 1-9 is really all about. It is, on one level, it is about the type of woman you should be looking for, young men. It is, on one level, about the type of man you should be looking for, young women. But that is not what these chapters are all about. The two women in these chapters are not just two chicks. They're not just two girls. They're not just two people. They're two ways of life. The way of wisdom and the way of folly. The lady and the tramp in the book of Proverbs teach us valuable lessons in the area of sex and marriage, but I believe they teach us much more than this. In addition to providing us with instruction about two kinds of women, they personify two ways of living. The way of wisdom, the way of folly. I take these from a great article online by Bob Deffenberg. I think it's Bible.org. The Way of the Wise Studies in the Book of Proverbs. Now, I take these three. I've addressed them a little bit, but this is a lot from him. These two women are identified as two ways. You can read, let's read together chapter 2, verses 9 to 22. This is what I want you to do. But I want you to count in your head every time the word way or path is said. Can you do that? I'll read it, but you guys have homework. I'll read it, you guys count in your head way or path. Tell me how many times. 9 to 22, Proverbs chapter 2. He says, store up wisdom for yourself. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked, whose devious are in their ways. So that you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, it's the covenant of her God. Her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the path of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. The wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. We're talking about rooted. That's what all these sermon series are called. You don't want to be rooted out of God. You want to be rooted in Him. How many times? Paths, ways. Six? Seven? Ten. It might be just translated different in here. I mean, I read it all from one translation, man. It's not like I was speaking eight different translations at once. How many was it? All right, that many. The point is that Solomon is building up these two women, not just saying these are the girl or guy you're to look for, but these are the ways to live. Secondly, this is a matter of life and death. While the lady is the kind of woman a young man should seek to marry, and the tramp is the kind of young woman whom a young man should avoid, the major thrust of the contrast between the two women is not having sex or having a good marriage even. What does the lady wisdom bring you? Lady wisdom, what does she bring you? She doesn't bring you just a good marriage, although she does if you marry her, right? She doesn't bring you just a great, you know, intimate life. What he says is find this woman, find this way, and live. What does the tramp bring you? What does he say? It says, those who go into her don't even know that she's dragging them down into death and Sheol, which is the place of the dead. Lady Wisdom calls out in Proverbs 9:4-6, whoever is simple, let him turn here. And whoever lacks sense, she says, come and eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. The tramp calls out in Proverbs 9:18, he doesn't know that the dead are there and her guests are the depths of Sheol. This is further evidence that while we can learn much about the right kind of wife, the primary lesson of these nine chapters of Proverbs is not simply looking for the right wife, it's looking for the right life. Thirdly, these women, if you want to give them names, these women are not lady, they're not the lady and the tramp, they're not Lady Wisdom and Madame Folly. They are Satan and Christ. If Solomon simply wanted to teach his son about wisdom, there's a lot of different type of women out there. If you wanted just to simply teach his son about girls, there's a lot of different types of girls out there. You can't just throw every single girl, every single woman into one of these two camps. You can't just say, hey, tramp, lady, tramp, lady, tramp, lady, and you shouldn't. That's not the point of the book. It's not the point of these nine chapters. But, and I don't think he's intending to conclude that it's most often the woman who seduces the man. You know, many men who are like this tramp who go out and seduce women. Rather, I believe the Proverbs pictures the tramp as the aggressor because she personifies the evil way. It's not that it is evil for a woman to be sexually aggressive. Indeed, in the Song of Solomon, as we'll look at, she, in the midst of that covenant relationship, her husband, she speaks very provocatively to her husband in the Song of Solomon because they're married. It's not just that it's not ladylike. It's that this is sin, and she's personifying sin. The point of the tramp's aggressiveness is that it demonstrates how aggressively Satan is seeking to draw you away from God and into the evil way. In other words, it's a woman who is the seducer in Proverbs because she personifies sin. These two women represent entire spiritual battle of your life. Here's the deal. If we were just, we're looking at wisdom literature and we're learning about wisdom. Now you can think of wisdom and knowledge very sterilely. You could think of it very academically. You could think of it very, oh, I learn A, I do B, I do A, I do B, and I walk this way and I do this thing and I'm wise. The point of these chapters of the book of Proverbs is he can't just set out and say, this is a mathematic equation, how I live my life, do right, don't do wrong. The point of these chapters of the book of Proverbs is that evil is a way and she is going to attack you aggressively like this woman. That Satan is going to aggressively try to catch you as you walk outside. If you walk into those places of temptation that you shouldn't be, Satan is going to come out of the house. He's going to grasp his arms around you. He's going to plant one on you. And he's going to say, hey, let's lie in my bed and have fun until morning. Because Satan is a person who wants you destroyed. He is the tramp. And he doesn't care which way he tips you up. For many of people, he puts sexual temptation in their way. Maybe Solomon's son, maybe Solomon because he saw how his dad fell, because he saw his own moral failings, because he saw this in his son. Maybe that's why he used tramp, so he could get through to his son, this is how Satan's going to get you. And for many young men, that is how. And for many young women, that is how. But Satan could care less if it's sexual temptation, or if it's material things like possessions that get you, or if it's success and power that you're looking for, or if it's just apathy and entertainment that you're looking for. Satan doesn't care. He's going to use everything he can to get you off of the path of wisdom into the path leading toward destruction. You think he cares how you get on that path? There's Christ. Just as Lady Wisdom says, come to me and eat. Come to me. And I'll give you life. You sang that song. That was the song we started with. He's on my vision. Be thou my wisdom. The New Testament, Christ called the wisdom of God. Parts of these passages of wisdom talk about how wisdom was with God before the foundations of the earth and how the universe was created through wisdom. And you get to John 1, and it talks about how in the beginning was the Word. That Word in John 1 is directly connected to the concept of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And all things were created through Him and by Him. And apart from Him, nothing exists that was created that wasn't created by Him. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:18. And that Word came to humanity. And instead of aggressively reaching out and compelling them to come in to Him, He stood before at the gate of humanity. And He said, come to me. I've got food for you to eat. And this food is life. I've got drink for you to drink. And anybody who drinks of this will never be thirsty again. Come to me and live. These are the two ways of the book of Proverbs. This is the way of Satan, the tramp, the way of Christ, the Lady Wisdom. I'm not going to force you in. Somebody says, if he's the perfect gentleman. Jesus said this, there are two roads. There are two roads, there's two ways. There's a broad world that leads to destruction. You're on it. On it. Tramp has seduced him. The tramp has won. Narrow road. Need of that road. Here I am. Christ, wisdom. Calling out. Think of my wine. Intoxicated with my love. These wisdom literature books are not just, hey, I can remember a good proverb and that's going to help me to know how to do business deals. The wisdom literature, these first nine chapters of Proverbs are powerful, man. That Lady Wisdom screaming out to you. Can you imagine what God does? Can you imagine God seeing you? God sees you as that youth walking to that part of town, walking to that website, or walking to wherever. And God's calling out, come to me and live. Come to me and live. Come to me and live. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not come to Lady Wisdom, you're on that path that leads to destruction. You've walked away from life. You say, how could God send me to hell? You chose it. Instead of following Him and going to Him, you walked away. Testament says, actually, the book of Isaiah says that all of us, like sheep, there's not one of us, not me, not anyone here, who stands up and says, hey, my own faculties and my own, I did the way of wisdom all by myself, and I knew it, I had it down, and all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us, to our own way. The Lord laid on Lady Wisdom, Christ, Him. He laid on Him all of our sin, so that He could pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these two women in the book of Proverbs. I thank you that they do teach us a lot. And I thank you for all these young men and young women in here who are the age where in the next couple of years, next decade, next 5 years, whatever, they're going to be looking. They're going to be looking at life mate. They're going to be looking for someone to walk that path with them and pray that they do find someone who's not just says, oh, I'm a Christian, I just came back from doing my offering. Somebody who truly knows and seeks you. I pray that for these young people here because that relationship is a lot toward pulling them toward the path of wisdom or taking them toward the path of destruction and folly. God, I pray for every single one in here. I pray for these youth. I pray for these young adults that they find a lady or a man of wisdom. God, I pray above all of that we find life. We find your Son, Jesus, the one who died for us and the one who is called out to all men and women. Anyone here who does not know you today, Lord, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit is speaking to them, saying right now you have to eat and you have to come, Jesus, for bread of life.
Lord,
I just thank you, Lord, that you're life for us so that we can live, that we can walk in your wisdom, knowing that the fear of the Lord, that relationship with you, life, the beginning of wisdom.